Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ruth, Ruth the fourth chapter. I'm reminded of the importance of this being true in the life of our church, that we have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We've come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, some just got married, some have kids, some don't have kids. Some are wanting to have kids, but we're a congregation mostly of believers in Jesus Christ, a gathering here today, but not all. There are some who are here that have come here today to understand the truth of the gospel as well as to be encouraged as a believer. But we're all here today, and we need the gospel. We all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together. And it helps us to make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. And let me just end by saying this to you. Jesus is wonderful. Christ changes lives. When they were singing that song, Cornerstone, I love that song. They were singing that song, and there's a line in that song they sing that, I was going to use this at the end, but I couldn't stand it. I just had to tell you now. There's a line in that song that says, "My anchor holds within the veil." And then they come back and sing it again. They repeat it. That's a picture of the Old Testament veil that was behind the Holy of Holies. And the bottom line is, we're not behind the veil, but I'm going to tell you something. When you are anchored in God through Jesus Christ, Jesus was God's Son who came and lived a perfect life on our behalf. He died on our behalf. He has offered us salvation, that we would take His righteousness, He would take our guilt, and because of that, we have an anchor that is in God. And believe me, behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God, if your life is seated with God, in other words, you have given your life to Jesus, He has saved you, then your anchor is going to hold, because we have turbulent days, don't we? We have turbulent days. And I tell you, this book of Ruth has really been an encouragement to me, and I hope it has been an encouragement to you. I want to say this to you. To be redeemed has amazing implications. In a spiritual sense, it means that we will be transformed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Old Testament reveals a picture of what it looks like to have the transforming power of God rule in the life of God's people. It is His faithfulness, not ours. Not your faithfulness, not my faithfulness, but His faithfulness that changes our life and transforms us. Now, in the beginning of this book of Ruth, we find Ruth. It's a story. Ruth began as a foreign woman away from the people of God. She had no association with God. She ends as the grandmother of the greatest king in Israel, David. We're going to talk about that today. She ends her life that way, as the grandmother of the greatest king of Israel, and as an ancestor of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here is a person not in the family of God, a broken life, actually a part of a tribe of people that were the enemies of God. Does that sound familiar? We were His enemies, and somehow He's given us a seat at His table. But she ends up as an ancestor to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need in the world is not rehabilitation. We need transformation. And redemption brings transportation. We see how God transforms people in the Old Testament. And we see that here in the book of Ruth. There are three main movements in this passage today. Now, I want you to take your scripture there, and I want to read beginning with verse 11, and we'll finish this chapter. I think I'm going to come back next Sunday. I've got some treasures that I want to share with you that'll finalize this book for us. So we're going to finish the scripture today, and then we're going to have one more message on it. But let me read in Ruth chapter 4, verse 11 and following. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. It says, "And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses.'" Now, what were they witnesses of? That the kinsman redeemer who was in line to take Ruth and Elimelech, her father-in-law's land, Naomi's husband's land, he gave up that right, okay? And so they said, "We are witnesses." The people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel." They were talking to Boaz, who was next in line. He was the kinsman redeemer. And it says, "The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." Verse 12. "May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth as she became his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. It means servant. "And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David." So Obed was going to be the father of a man named Jesse. And Jesse is the father of David, who would become king of Israel. Now look at this, verse 18. "Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab." Verse 20, "Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David." That's a little, that's the Bible's version of Ancestry.com, okay? They're giving you a little bit of information there. Now, there are three main movements in this. We've got to hurry. Number one, the transformation we see for Ruth. The message today is the transformation of redemption. And we see three movements in this passage, three different people who were transformed. First of all, the transformation for Ruth. In Ruth, we see God's plan for the person far from God. Do you feel far from God today? Do you know people who feel far from God today? Let me tell you something. Ruth's story is a story of redemption from someone who was far from God. It says in our passage today in verse 11, it says, "May she be like," in verse 11, it says, "The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the land of Israel." Now, Jacob is an Old Testament patriarch in the scripture, and he and Rachel and Leah, by them were born eight of the children representing the leading tribes of Israel. In other words, what this is saying is make her, because she's your wife, Boaz, make her, she's going to be like Rachel and Leah. God is going to use her in a tremendous way, just like he used Rachel and Leah and Jacob. Eight of the children representing the leading tribes of Israel were born of Jacob. And then it says, "May you prosper in Ephrathah." Okay, look at verse 11. That is a word, that's a little, it's another name for Bethlehem. And that word means fruitful. May her life be fruitful in the sense of impact. All right? Her life was going to be changed. And then in verse 11, it also uses this phrase. It says, and be famous in Bethlehem. That phrase, to be famous in Bethlehem, means to keep the name alive. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer for Ruth, and he took the land of Elimelech, who was Ruth's father-in-law. Elimelech's son had died, and Ruth was was his wife, and so she had no heir. She had no husband, and so the kinsman redeemer was the one next in line that was to marry her and to establish the name that would be alive. So may her name remain alive in Bethlehem. You see, Rachel, they mentioned, the writer mentioned Rachel and Leah. Rachel was actually buried in Bethlehem. Man, I tell you what, just a little side note, we're planning this trip to Israel, and every time I see something related to geography, now I'm thinking about, man, one day I'll get to see that. I'm excited. All these years I've studied the Bible, I've never been to the Holy Land, and so next April I'm trying to go. We're going to go as a church. If you're interested, yeah, I want you to know about that. But I'm thinking about going to see Bethlehem. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem, and so she was buried there, and then Jesus Christ would be born there. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So this son, Obed, was going to be connected to Bethlehem. Ruth and Boaz and Naomi were going to be connected to Bethlehem. Now, then in verse 12, look what it says. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. Now, this is a whole nother sermon. Trust me. If you want to read about it, read Genesis 38. Write this down. Now, don't start reading it right now. I'm still preaching, Andy. Don't read it right now. But anyway, see, I still can see all y'all. I know what y'all are doing. But anyway, no. Genesis 38, verses 6 through 34. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible does not pull any punches on life. It's you've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, this is a story that is amazing. This was Tamar actually dressed up like a prostitute and enticed her father-in-law, because her father-in-law was not providing a kinsman through the other sons. Tamar had lost her husband. And through the same laws that Ruth applied to have Boaz, Judah was supposed to do that for Tamar, but Judah didn't do it. And so it's a long story, but she ended up in an incestuous relationship, became pregnant, and Perez was the boy born. That's the story in a nutshell, okay? You go back and read all the details. It's literally an amazing story. I'm going to do a series on the lineage of the Lord Jesus and who's in it. I'm going to do that probably around Christmas time, because the stories are amazing. Rahab the harlot is a part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? Now, folks, look at me. Let's don't get too spiritual. I want to just tell you something that the Lord's just hit me with so strongly. The Lord uses broken lives. If you have made wise choices in your life, that's wonderful. Every time I've ever listened to the Bible and done what the Bible said, I've been blessed. Every time. But can I tell you this? I have not always done that. And the times I have not done that, I have paid a tremendous price. But I'm so glad the Lord didn't say, when I came to him, he said, well, you know, if you had been smarter and made better choices, if you weren't so broken, I would take you, but I can't take you. Boy, I sure am glad he didn't do that. The Lord is in the business of using broken lives and giving him and glory being given to him through broken lives. Dr. Adrian Rogers talked about some ancient potters that would make these beautiful pieces of pottery. And they were flawless. But then before they would put them out for people, they would break them into a bunch of pieces. And then they would put them back together with gold as the thing that held all the pieces together. And they were just beautiful. It was a picture of broken vessels that God put back together. And so here's, he mentions this about Ruth, and the writer actually says, may your house be like the house of Perez. Well, that house was in trouble. And here's the lesson there, though. The lesson is, if God blessed the whole circumstance with Tamar, how much more was he going to bless this union? That's the message of that. If God could take a life like Tamar's and Perez would be the result of that and use Perez in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, how much more could he use Ruth? Can I tell you this? How much more could he, are you going to say it? Are you going to hear it? How much more could he use you? You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know everything I've done. Can I tell you this? You don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done. But I know what these people in here have done. The Lord lays it out. He doesn't pull any punches. And yet God put them in a special lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, to King David, and then to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this girl's life was totally transformed. She was from Moab, an enemy of God, and all of a sudden now she's going to be in the lineage of King David and an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says that about Tamar, all right? He takes difficult, broken situations and makes them beautiful. And then in verse 13 it says, the Lord gave her conception. She got pregnant. And after 10 years when she was with Elimelech's son, they were over in Moab. There's no hint of any children. And all of a sudden, God opened her womb and gave her conception. And notice the Lord gave her conception. It is from the Lord. It's not from our deservedness. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the blessings of the Lord. It's from the Lord. But think about the wonderful changes and transformation that redemption had in Ruth's life. I want you to think about this. She went from loneliness to love. She went from toil to rest. She went from poverty to wealth. She went from worry to assurance. She went from despair to hope. No longer was she Ruth the Moabitess. Now she was Ruth the wife of Boaz. I tell you, when Jesus comes in, it changes everything. They said there were some baseball players in downtown Chicago many, many, many years ago. And they were down there coming out of a saloon. And there was a group of people standing over by across the street that were singing gospel hymns. And one of the ball players remembered growing up hearing those hymns. He remembered the little church his mom and dad took him to. And all of a sudden he turned to his friends. He said, guys, I'm through. I'm going to give my life to Christ. One of them tried to talk him out of it. One supported him. He gave his life to Christ. And the papers got a hold of it because he was a very famous baseball player. And the next day, one of his coaches came up to him and said, I'm not much on religion, but I read the paper this morning, and evidently you've given your life to God. And the man said, yes, I did, and I'm totally transformed. And the man said, well, I'm not much on religion, but I want you to know, if anybody says anything against you, I'll stand with you. And Billy Sunday, the great baseball player, gave his life to Jesus Christ at the Pacific Garden Mission. I've been down to that mission in Chicago. What a place. What a soul-saving station. And God used Billy Sunday in a great way in our country. And so Ruth saw transformation. She was someone far away from God who came to God. Number two, we see transformation for Naomi. Now, Ruth was someone far away that we see transform. Let me tell you about Naomi. Transformation for Naomi. Number two, we see God's plan for the person who is bitter or the person who is hurt. I want you to turn back in Ruth to chapter 1, verse 20 real quickly. Chapter 1, verse 20. They had said, oh, is this Naomi? And in verse 20, Naomi said, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, talking about when she went to Moab. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Let me tell you, she was hurt. She had been through some broken situations, some broken circumstances. We see God's plan for the person who is broken, the person who is hurt. In verse 14, it says, the Lord has not left you this day. You look at that in verse 14 of our chapter. It says, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. Now, in that close relative, they're talking about the little baby. They're talking about Obed. And he is a restorer of life. In verse 15, Obed became Naomi's love. She was a grandmother to Obed. Hey, grandchildren make you young again. And I tell you, that's what happened to her. He was to be a nourisher, the scripture says, a restorer of life. And that's exactly what happened. And so God transformed her. She went from a person who felt empty and felt bitter and felt hurt because of the circumstances that she was in. And the Lord transformed her life and gave her Obed. What a great story. Every baby born is a vote for the future. I love that. Every baby born is a vote for the future. My dad-in-law has a quote about kids that just is always stuck with me. He says, a new baby is God's opinion that life must go on. I love that. We got a little baby Hank right here. Hey, Hank was born. We got Suzanne's about to have a baby here shortly. We got others that are about to have babies. We dedicated 5 babies last week. Hey, a new baby is God's opinion that life must go on. Hey, can I tell you this? Invest in the future. Naomi got a new lease on life when she got Obed, that little baby. Can I say this to you? It may not be necessarily a physical baby for you. It could be a spiritual baby that you pour your life into. One of the greatest influencers of my life was an elderly man who was my Sunday school teacher when I was in high school. He signed up to substitute for 2 weeks in the youth department, and he stayed 50 years. When I had him, he was teaching in about his 25th year. I later went back to my home church as a youth pastor, and he was still teaching teenagers. You know what he was doing? He was young. He had a new lease on life. And by the way, I don't have time to go into it. I could tell you the heartache that man experienced. I mean, some serious, serious heartache that he experienced. But his anchor held within the veil. He stayed close to the Lord, and he poured into young people. I tell you, I was thinking, writing this sermon, I was thinking about Carl Nixon. Some of y'all know Carl Nixon if you've been in this church a long time. Carl Nixon was a guy, when I was youth pastor here back in the 80s, Carl worked with the RAs. And he took a bunch of guys out camping and stuff. Every time I'm around some of these guys that are here in our church now that were youth back then, and I say, man, what were some things y'all remember? They say, man, I remember Mr. Nixon. Mr. Nixon took us on campouts. He took us, and we went out and had bonfires and stuff, and he was trying to tell these boys, he's trying to tell these young men how to live. He needed a little help with some of them, I know. But anyway, he was a good man. But I think about the influence of his life. I think about other men that I've known that have invested in young people. Let me tell you something. In verse 15 it says, Obed will be a nourisher of old age. He will sustain the land, and his work will ensure the care of Naomi. In other words, her life was transformed because she had that new life. Can I tell you this? You're sitting there and you're thinking, what am I going to do? You know, sometimes I've kind of ended up cynical. I used to have a pastor that always said, you know, when you get older, you got two choices. You either get better or you get bitter. Hey, can I tell you something? Can I plead with you? And you think I'm going to tell you not to be bitter. I'm pleading with you to not, don't let me get away with being cynical and bitter. I don't want to be that way. I want the Lord to help me to be better. You say, well, but I'm sitting around, you know, my time's been and I made some mistakes and my life's not been that great. You know what you ought to do? Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Pour your life into some young people. There are teenagers that need somebody to encourage them, to disciple them. They are starving for heroes, starving for someone that would pour into them. Boy, I know I was. I had a man look at me at camp one day. He said, I've made $1 million. I'll never forget this. I can't hardly say it, talk about it. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He stood in front of about 12 boys. We were all in high school. He said, guys, I've made $1 million. And then he said this. He said, I've lost $1 million. He said, life's not in money. Life is in Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I don't even know where that man is now. But I tell you what, I've never forgotten that. It marked my life as a young kid. You say, well, you know, I don't know. I've not done some great things. Well, start today. You know, we've got a vacation Bible school. We've got a preschool ministry. We've got a children's ministry. We've got a youth ministry. I tell you what, I walked in there today, man, Aubrey and Christy and Chris was in there and Katarina and Mention was in there. And man, they had two loaded rooms of young people. They were tearing up the place. I'm kidding, they really weren't. But man, I'm telling you, they were everywhere. I'm so proud of those young people being in church. Man, I can't stand it. I pray we'd give them. Listen, some of these old classes, if you don't want to get with it, just move out. We'll fill it up with young people. Now, don't get mad with me, okay? But my point is, I don't know that Carl Nixon thought this is making the greatest impact in the world, to be honest with you. But I tell you one thing, it made an impact. Naomi was someone who had the temptation to be bitter. Everything had been taken from her. And then the other thing, just the cherry on top, was that in verse 15, the scripture says this, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. What an amazing, that phrase, old age, it actually literally says your gray hair, okay? It's a euphemism for old age. Then it says this, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, and by the way, that's that word for covenant love, Byron, hesed, okay? Covenant love of the Old Testament. It says, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons has borne him. Boy, I tell you what, the loyalty and the love that Ruth showed to Naomi was amazing. And the women and the people were acknowledging to her, you are so blessed. You have a daughter-in-law. You have a daughter-in-law that loves you as much or better than seven sons could have loved you. And the Bible says in verse 16, Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him, or like a nanny. She became like a nanny. Here's the application for me and the application for you. Pour into your grandchildren. Pour into your great-grandchildren. Pour into some kids. Let God use the young Christian to be a blessing to you as you're a blessing to them. I want to encourage you to do that. And take the time to invest in those in your family that are young that you can encourage in a huge way. That's what Naomi did. It became life to her. She went from bitter to living. And then the last thing, number three, is transformation for the future. It says in verse 17, they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. The women named him servant. It's actually a shortened version of Obadiah. The word Obadiah means servant of Yahweh, servant of God. But they said, let's call him, he's Obadiah, but let's call him Obed for short. It means servant, okay? And so you see a transformation of the future, because here's the thing, Obed brought blessing to Israel. He made Bethlehem famous. He was the grandfather of David. Now, David wasn't perfect, but David was the greatest king of Israel. He expanded their inheritance. He worshiped God. He wrote worship songs for the Levites to sing and devised musical instruments for them to play. He spent a lifetime gathering wealth for the building of the temple. He got the plans together for the temple, and his son Solomon was able to build the temple. And so here was Obed, was the grandfather of David, and it was all because of Ruth. It was all because of what Boaz had done. The whole future was transformed because of this kinsman redeemer. Obed brought blessing to the whole wide world because David was the ancestor of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came from David. It was prophesied that he would be the son of David, and he was. And all that lineage, as it goes through the Old Testament, eventually we come to Bethlehem when Jesus Christ was born. And guess what? The whole world has been changed because of that. Obed and Jesse. Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had 8 sons. The youngest who would become the king of Israel, and then the Lord Jesus would be a descendant of David. I just want to tell you that you're hiding under the shadow of God's wing. You anchoring your life in God, you giving your life to Jesus Christ, you allowing salvation to come to you, and for you to receive the gift of salvation is going to change the future. It did in this case. It changed the future. Did you watch the royal wedding? Some of y'all, if you did, you're not going to admit it in church, are you? Okay, I looked at a little bit of it. But I was amazed at a picture that I got a hold of the girl. What's her name? Meghan Markle, right? When she was 15 years old, she was sitting in front of Buckingham Palace. They have that picture? Okay. When she was 15 years old, she was standing there. That's Buckingham Palace. And it's what, 22 years before she was going to be in royalty. She didn't know that. But 22 years later, she was going to marry into the family. Now, that's an interesting story. Now she's a princess. She saw the castle at 15. Now she's a princess in England. I've got something better for you. Naomi was bitter and had nothing. She went from bitterness to being blessed. I got something better for you. Ruth was a Moabitess in an enemy camp, an enemy of God, and she became a part of the family. She came into the family. She became the grandmother to David and an ancestor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I got something better for you. You and I were headed straight to an eternal judgment. Straight to an eternal judgment. Because of our sin, because what we had done wrong against the law of God, because we did not seek the Lord, we were headed straight to hell, but now we are headed to the kingdom. Can I tell you this? My anchor holds within the veil. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. He has provided a way for me to have a relationship with Him. Look, as an enemy of God, now guess what? I'm seated at the table. I'm at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done. I don't know where you fit into this story today. Maybe you're like Ruth, someone in totally have no relationship. You can come to know Him today. Maybe you are a believer, but you have made some major mistakes. Can I tell you this? Today can be a new day. And I can tell you this, as we are faithful to do the things the Lord has called us to do in serving Him and loving Him, we can see an impact made on the future generations that will come because of the grace of Almighty God. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.